Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. As we draw nearer to the approval of the first vaccine for the coronavirus, COVID-19 infection rates climb each day across the nation and here at home. More than 800 South Dakotans have now died from the disease. Today's number, 819. Our healthcare professionals continue to be taxed with COVID-19 cases, even as they learn more every day about the virus. Dr. Shankar Kura is Vice President of Medical Affairs at Monument Health, and he joins us today for an update. Dr. Kura, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
A pleasure to be here, Lori.
I want to start by talking about a potential vaccine and this sort of new kind of vaccine, RNA vaccine. Lots of people are starting to buzz about how this is different than other vaccines. Walk us through what a potential SARS-CoV-2 vaccine is made up of.
Yeah, great question. So it's what's called a messenger RNA. So the basic building block, the code for all life, is in DNA, which most of us recognize, deoxyribonucleic acid. For viruses, quite a few of them have RNA, which is just a single strand. Think of it as a DNA, but with one strand missing. And what this vaccine does is takes a snippet of an RNA, which is called a messenger, because it carries the message to make a specific protein, in this case, the spike protein. So most of your viewers can visualize a sphere with spikes on it. That's how the coronavirus looks, and that's why it's called a coronavirus. It looks like this solar corona with spikes emanating around the sphere. And those spikes are the way this virus attaches to the human cell, and that's how it gets access into the cell. And then once it gets in, it replicates, and that's an invaded cell. Now you're infected, and then unfortunately all the bad things happen. What the vaccine does is very clever. It takes just a snippet that can code for that protein, not the whole virus, just that spike protein. So when you inject this messenger RNA vaccine into the muscle, that's how it's given, into the shoulder muscle there, like you would get an intramuscular injection. The RNA is then taken in by the cell, and then it's the cell's own machinery reads that code and makes that specific spike protein. Once it does so, the human immune system automatically goes into action. It recognizes that as alien and builds antibodies specifically targeted against the spike protein. And so once that's accomplished, the person who received the vaccine, then when they encounter or get infected, the virus is unable to attach to the human cell because it's blocked by the specific antibodies that our immune system produces. So this has been very successful in animal trials. So that's preclinical trials. Then phase one and phase two trials clearly showed that this is a very safe vaccine. That's what phase one's intention is. This current phase three trial is looking at 40,000 participants in each of these two messenger RNA vaccines, both the Moderna vaccine and the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. They're both similar. And what these studies have shown is of the 40,000 volunteers, half of them received the vaccine, half did not. And in both and all of those folks who received the vaccine, it gave them 90 to 95% protection against getting the disease when they were exposed to it. And secondly, they're also safe. It does not cause any harm to the individuals concerned.
Wow. So this is different than what we think of, and excuse the clumsiness, but a lot of us have questions that we can't quite articulate right now, which is the idea of taking a live virus and injecting it into your shoulder.
Correct.
It's different than the flu shot that I got a couple months ago.
Correct. Correct. So great question. So some of the best vaccines we've ever made, let's take one everyone has. It's called the measles, mumps, rubella, MMR vaccine. That's a live virus vaccine, but the virus is attenuated through radiation, through chemicals in the lab. So when you inject the MMR vaccine, what it does is the body recognizes the virus and creates the antibody, but the cells themselves are not infected, don't exhibit pathology. So they don't get measles, they don't get rubella or mumps. And we know this because we have had MMR vaccines for a long time, 50-plus years, in millions, actually billions, because all of China, India, Europe, Australia, Americas, and Africa have received as a primary series, all children received this. And it has, in effect, completely eliminated this, unless you have pockets that don't take, which we're seeing a small reemergence of measles because of that, because some people object to getting their children vaccinated. But it is clearly shown in places like Australia, New Zealand, where it's you can't get an exemption. It completely eliminates the disease, number one. Number two, clearly showing that vaccines, when designed specifically, will get rid of the infection. And in this case, like you correctly point out, this is not a virus. This is a messenger RNA. In other words, it has the genetic code to make a protein, and then it is very clever in that way because you can't get anything from it other than the ability to make this protein. And then the immune system responds by creating a specific, very clearly targeted antibody. So now your protection is very precise, very targeted, and very safe in the sense that you can't get an infection from the vaccine.
Is this like Nobel Prize stuff? I mean, let's just be excited for a minute and all this sadness that we're experiencing.
Oh, yes. And okay. I'm glad to bring that up because I will say this. If there's a Nobel Prize, there's one individual that it should go to. And it's a great story, and I think your listeners will love this. So this is a Hungarian-born American scientist. Her name is Katalin Kariko, K-A-R-I-K-O. And she is a researcher at the University of Pennsylvania, Perelman School of Medicine, and the research department there. So in 1990, there was a paper published showing messenger RNA works in mice. And it was a breakthrough publication in scientific papers, clearly opening the door for all kinds of possibilities. So you could cure, like, say, diabetes, because you just create the messenger RNA to make that protein like insulin. Or whatever you wanted to, you could replace. Any problem could be solved. That was the thinking anyway. So from 1990... through 1995, there were study after study and research after research done to introduce messenger RNA to humans, and every time it failed, and every single researcher and research team failed. It was very, very sad because they were so on the cusp of making a breakthrough. And the reason was, the moment you injected messenger RNA into a human body, for some reason our immune system attacked it, and worse still, unfortunately, those who received it in trials, it caused inflammation, damage to their own cells because that response was so vigorous. So 5 years of work and got nowhere, and Katalin Kariko was one of them, and she also was one of the people failing. And she was a professor at the time, had her own lab, had grants for doing research, had her own lab assistants. She was demoted, and this is normal. It doesn't mean anything personal, but that's what happens. You lose your grants, mm-hmm. you lose your lab, you lose your professorship. So in 1995, she had nothing to go on, and she kept applying for grants, kept telling her no. I mean, the people who would fund these grants, because they said, that's a dead end, you're not going to get anywhere. From 95 till 2005, 10 years on her own with no grants, no professorship, she did the research on this. And in 2005, with the collaborator Wiseman, who's also at University of Pennsylvania, they published this paper, which forever will become the new paper. That's the paper that led to these vaccines. And the reason that was successful was she was able to, over those 10 years of research on her own, not giving up on her dream, and she failed several times before she got there, she substituted the code. Each of these codes in RNA and DNA is made up of four nucleotides, A, U, G, C. It's adenine, uracine, cytosine, guanine. She just created a substitute molecule for the U part of it, the uridine part. It's called pseudouridine because it looks like uridine, but it's not uridine. And when she did that, the body did not attack it and actually accepted it and made the translated the code and made the protein. So that paper in 2005 immediately caused both Moderna to be formed overnight. They just, the scientists who recognized it, They were in Stanford. They went over to Cambridge, set up this company they call Moderna, which stands for modified RNA. That's what Moderna stands for.
It's kind of a
portmanteau word.
Right.
And then they didn't make anything from 2005 until now. Even though they're a $1 billion company, they've actually made no product they can sell. But they honed and became experts at messenger RNA. Same thing, BioNTech. Two doctors, Dr. Sahin, Dr. Turkic, they also recognized in 2005 and started a company, BioNTech. And they are very successful scientists and medical doctors. And they and Moderna started the journey at the same time. And they both were ready when the announcement came in from China in Wuhan that there was this virus that's going to cause a pandemic. And they immediately started. The pandemic had not even started. They said, we see this is going to be a pandemic. And so in a way, I'd say the Nobel Prize should go to Katalin Karikó. That's what the founders of Moderna will tell you.
Wow. That's the most fun I've had on the radio in a long time, Dr. Kura. Thank you for that story.
It is very exciting.
That is exciting. And I think with all the things that we're going through, you know, in our lives, just knowing, some of that science and how it has been unfolding over the past decades is exciting, to say the least. So this, you mentioned just that the problems with it before, with that vigorous immune system response, which is also what we're seeing with some people who get infected with SARS-CoV-2, this virus or this vaccine, this messenger RNA vaccine that we anticipate being approved soon, doesn't do that? They've solved that problem?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
They solved the problem, and not only did they solve the problem, it has been shown in both trials, in their independent trials, the independent review boards. I know this question gets asked a lot in public. Well, how can we trust? Because this is trying to, speed up the process. Well, the reality is all of the data that the researchers produce is reviewed by independent safety boards. And this is how it's done. Very vigorous process. And in the entire trials, phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, one thing we know beyond doubt, safety. What we don't know very well is efficacy. And we're beginning to find out, like they just released 90%, 95%. Those numbers are mind-boggling. It is just beyond, like Dr. Fauci said, it's almost, fantastic, unbelievable, or something along the lines. That's the word Fauci used for that, which is true because, again, independent boards are reviewing these and telling you that it's not only safe, which we knew from 1, 2, and 3, but now we also know its efficacy is 90%.
Which opens the doors to a whole lot that we haven't even imagined yet, doesn't it?
Yes. And they were, both BioNTech and Moderna have been very close to making cures for several cancers. That's where they were targeting most of their messenger RNA technology.
Okay, so in South Dakota, sometimes we can't even get our mind around the science behind it's a good idea to wear a mask. We're going to have a hard time getting our idea around lining up for a vaccine, just because that's the reality that we live in. How will a vaccine like this be rolled out in the state that you know of from a Monument Health standpoint, as far as healthcare workers and vulnerable populations? What do you know today that you can share with us?
Right. Yeah, we know quite a bit as far as the plans and protocols in place. And these are guidelines issued by the government. And the number one thing would be frontline workers would be the first recipients of this. So we're talking about nurses, doctors who are actually caring for direct interactions with the patients. The second would be emergency workers, emergency care, EMT personnel, and skilled nursing facilities, those who are residents of skilled nursing facilities and those who give care there. Because as we know, that's a very high risk, long-term care is where we have almost 40% of the deaths in the United States, of the entire deaths in the United States come from there, from that situation. And then finally, the general public. And again, there would be a stratified, starting with the vulnerable population, which would be 55 and older, and those with comorbidities. So we probably won't see a publicly available vaccine option probably into spring or even summer of next year. So if we do see a vaccine rolled out, let's say late December or and early January, it'll be just for a very small portion of the population that's, like I outlined, based on that protocol.
Yeah. So Dr. Fauci said, you know, there's going to be shortages. There distribution, there are going to be challenges. Mm-hmm. Are you feeling confident that by December, some frontline healthcare workers in South Dakota are going to be getting vaccinated? Are we, once we start, yes. We've started. Okay.
Yes, absolutely, Lori. The truth is they will allocate to all the states, and we are getting prepared. We do have, fortunately for us, we discovered that in our own at Monument Health already, we have those ultra cold storage freezers that can handle minus 70 degrees like one of the vaccines needs.
All right. So what happens after you get vaccinated? That person, yeah. Does their behavior change as far as washing your hands, watching your distance,
no.
Not gathering in crowds, wearing a mask? What happens once those vaccines start getting rolled out?
Yeah. I think we have to look at this in a very precise manner. It's only against COVID, so it doesn't protect you against norovirus, rotavirus, several other viruses that all come into play in the winter season. So those that get vaccinated, the one good news for them is they will not succumb to COVID, which is, as you can see clearly, it's playing havoc, not just that, you know, 800 plus who unfortunately died in South Dakota, but those that do survive also have a tale to tell. They have a long-term consequences that are just only beginning to be understood. So I think those the good news here is if the vaccine is available and you get it, you're very one of those fortunate ones, because now you won't have COVID-19, but you'll still have these other viruses that you still need to wash your hands, and I would ideally practice all the things you're currently practicing.
Mm-hmm. How long do we know that vaccine will be good for? Is it going to be like a flu shot where every year it's adjusted and we're getting, you know, flu shots, influenza A shots, and a COVID or some kind of coronavirus vaccine?
Yeah, so we don't. That's another question that only large-scale study would answer. Yeah. And so we only have preliminary data on efficacy, which is great. But what we do know is very promising at this time, and there's three hypothetical routes this can take. The one simple one is if we go back to 2003, when the first SARS virus, which is also a coronavirus, and it lasted until September and completely died out. And the reason it completely died out was it had a shorter incubation period, so people could quickly detect, isolate, and keep. So you can imagine, if you have a vaccine, it's similar to having detecting and isolating. It's almost like if you could vaccinate, let's say, 60% of every community in the United States and the world, or let's just start South Dakota, you are, in a way, eliminating the coronavirus. And I'm not saying that'll happen, but that's one hypothetical scenario. The other one would be you would be like you just described, like the flu vaccine. You will have to do it yearly if that's how long our immunity lasts. But we do know from 2003, one of the most great papers published is on a patient from that time who in as recent as this year, they were able to isolate from the blood sample a neutralizing antibody called S309 that clearly shows that people do retain antibodies that can neutralize this virus and it happened to cross react with the current coronavirus. But it's amazing that 17 years later, you're still able to mount an immune response. Not everyone's going to do the same. So it depends on that factor, how often the vaccine would need to be taken. But at this point, at least the signs are encouraging. If you had to take a wild guess, maybe a 2-dose regimen could completely protect you for a long time.
All right, before we let you go, we got to talk about Thanksgiving and the hospital capacities that we're seeing, the exhaustion from healthcare workers, some who are taking to social media to say they feel abandoned and betrayed, and it's really hard to do a 12-hour shift in a COVID unit and then go and see people around a big Thanksgiving dinner or at a bar or restaurant. What do we need to happen in South Dakota this week to keep this situation from getting even worse?
Yeah, I think a great point. This is hopefully what the takeaway for this for our listeners and for at large people at West River. We need to continue to be vigilant. If you look at the numbers, right now South Dakota is showing a minus 5% decline in cases. This is a good sign, but will it hold is a big question. We were reporting 1,500 cases daily, and now we're down to 1,000 and less. And so it's a good sign, but the only way this is going to stay there and not have another resurgence after, for instance, Thanksgiving, where people might decide it's time to, have large parties, is not a good time. Now, as I say that, I'm very sensitive to how important the celebratory dinner or lunch at Thanksgiving is, and the fact that it's a true, probably one of our unique celebrations in the United States where families get together and really enjoy each other. So all I would say is we should do all the right things. Wash your hands, keep your distance, use the face mask, and stay protected and protect your dear ones. And if you're going to do gather, try to separate yourself and ideally not all gather under one roof in large numbers.
Yeah. We're asking for more people, but it's not forever, and we can do it. We can do it together. Dr. Shankar Kura, thank you so much, and for some optimistic news as well today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Lori.